Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And Adam is going to review a movie that he was in no way excited to see.
I think that's probably an out-and-out lie. I don't like calling people liars to their face, but that was pretty bold-faced.
Okay, he did have a countdown clock for the Tarantino film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. No, not America. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Or just Once Upon a Time.
Yes, TV show.
It's
Imagine if Tarantino did that TV show with the fairy tales.
Well, it would have to be moved to HBO.
Yes.
And then at that point, then he could do what he wanted. And I'm telling you, I'd be in.
Yeah.
I'd be in on that. I'd like to see Tarantino's take on classic fairy tales.
I would, too.
I can't imagine there's anyone out there, like, that doesn't want to see that. Maybe children or conservative mothers.
My children want to see the Tarantino film, but I've said I can't yet. I think no.
I snuck and watched Pulp Fiction, and I had
you were what, 16?
Pulp Fiction came out in 94, so I was 14.
Okay.
And Jackie Brown was 97, so I had to buy a ticket to a different movie to watch Jackie Brown. So, like, up until that point, I kind of had to sneak around it. But I think Kill Bill was the first one I actually just got to, like, buy a ticket to that movie.
So, at 14, did Pulp Fiction...
I think I understood a lot of it. But, like, a lot of that movie was just... I was like, wow, they talk a lot. And, again, this is still the kid that, you know, wants to watch, like, action movies and, like, you know, The your more traditional blockbuster fare. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd never seen a movie where they wanted to talk.
What
that
made you want to
much.
Watch Pulp Fiction and sneak in to do it? Although he did pay a ticket price.
It was an R-rated movie. Like, there was something about the intrigue of doing something that you weren't supposed to do. And friends
of
mine.
You didn't do it on your own.
No.
No.
Well, and friends of mine had told me, like, that, you know, their brothers had got them, like, into it, or they, or some of the older friends that I had, they were just like, they had seen it. And I was like, oh, well, I want to see this too. So I didn't understand exactly what I was getting into. And you almost have to be kind of gently, like, taken in to Tarantino, because his movies are not like any other, like, if you've seen a romantic comedy, you know, there's good ones, there's bad ones. But if you've seen one, you kind of know how that thing's going to play out.
Right.
If you've seen a Roland Emmerich, like, disaster summer movie, they're different. Like, sometimes the earth freezes, sometimes it's aliens, sometimes
it's frozen
whatever.
Aliens.
Yeah. But for the most part, you know how it's going to work out.
Stuff blows up real good, and it's all, you know, iconic buildings.
Like, with Pulp Fiction... Like, there's multiple scenes, there's act breaks, like, characters aren't interacting necessarily. There's four different stories. Like, I don't think I had ever seen anything quite so intricately plotted. And at 14, I'm just like, but, well, when do you get on the thing that blows up?
Like,
I mean, the Transformers
movies. Were you disappointed? Do you remember
that? No, I just remember, like, thinking, I need to see this again. I don't think I got all of it. And again, and
it's like watching Memento and not paying attention.
Yeah, you're just like, wait, why doesn't he? But didn't he just see that? Like, why is there a tattoo on him? Like, it really was. I was a person that could casually watch films. And Pulp Fiction was one of the first movies that I really had to go, okay, well, I just have to sit down. I have to pay attention. Like, maybe I'm going to take notes.
Ah.
Oh, wow, Samuel L. Jackson is mad. He is very angry.
So, that's not the movie that we are going to be reviewing. And by the way, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is doing very well. Now, with inflation, they're saying it's not his best opening, but it's opened at like $40 million. And for a Tarantino film, that is very, very good indeed. So, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, what I've seen of the sets, the costuming, the cockiness, the whole vibe. I've watched those trailers over and over. It's brilliant.
It's all kinds of 60s.
Like, yes.
I think it's almost kind of like a seductive pipe dream. Like, I don't think this is how the 60s was for everybody.
But like, for some people.
Well, I'm sure for like a very select few, but like the slice that you get to see, like it's just, it's as 60s as, in as much as Stranger Things, like is about as 80s mm-hmm. as you can get. This film like kind of leans into the 60s and like doesn't, it doesn't stop.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hints and Oakley Family Dentistry. We are high atop the podcast center. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens, actually reviewing a movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
DiCaprio is not playing his traditional, like, he's a leading man. I think I can mm-hmm. say that, like, generally he's very serious, like, Inception, like, he's heroic, like...
I have to give Inception another look because I was not in the mood or paying much attention when I saw it.
You really kind of sort of have to.
And I just kind of was like, sometimes I'm in those moods, and it just missed me.
It's Chris Nolan, like, and Leonardo DiCaprio. It is genuinely worth mm-hmm. like a couple of watches. DiCaprio is not playing his traditional, like, as heroic, like, really kind of flawless self. Mm-hmm. In most of his movies, like, there's not a whole lot to dislike about him. In this one, he is very, like, self-deprecating. Like, he doesn't have confidence, like, in himself.
He comes across as smarmy from the trailer.
Yeah.
And it's like, smarmy to me is a very specific word. And it looked like he was nailing it.
And he's not in, like, 100% of the movie, but he and Brad Pitt... If one is not on the screen, chances are the other probably is.
Okay. For those who don't know, what is the story?
You have this he used to be a television actor in a fictional show. Well, I guess technically
they're Leonardo DiCaprio's
Leonardo
character.
DiCaprio, yeah. He was in a show called Bounty Law, kind of similar to like Ponderosa or like
Gunsmoke.
Bonanza. Like it was a weekly show fictionally set on NBC.
And a huge hit.
Like big hit. And Brad Pitt is his stunt double. And like it's a bromance mm-hmm. of sorts. Like even after the show goes off the air and he has kind of a middling film career, like Brad Pitt will still come around and like do housework for him. At one point it explains that like he gets too many DUIs and he gets his license taken away. So Brad Pitt has to drive him to mm-hmm. like new auditions. And he's not in the twilight of his career, but it's not gangbusters anymore. Like he is not like the one that has his face on TV Guide. Like
right.
he's not on all the magazine. He's playing like maybe the villain of the week on like mm-hmm. FBI or like
Columbo.
Yeah, like stuff like that. He's working and he lives in Hollywood, but he's not the level of stardom that I guess he wants to, and he understands that he thinks he is lesser than he used to be. And like his character, especially in like more private moments, kind of like lets you in to see like just how vulnerable he is versus like this character. Because all his characters, they're nothing but like just swinging bravado.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them's got one of those handlebar mustaches. He's threatening people. He's shooting mm-hmm. people. He's like, go get him right now. Go get him right now. But like then you get to like maybe his trailer. And he's just like, what are you doing out there? You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing yourself. I learned all those lines, and now they don't think I'm a professional. Like, just a really interesting thing to see an actor who, like, is usually portrayed as, you know, like I said, just very, you know, straight
dare
jawed.
Dare I say, in this case, Leo has to act?
He is acting. And I honestly, I'm going to put this out there, like the... what was it? Revenant, I think, that mm-hmm. he actually won for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different kind of performance. But
yeah.
I would almost say this is probably one of his strongest, if not his strongest, performance of his career.
And I know this is silly to say, but when I look back at DiCaprio's career, I never would have predicted this. Not that he was bad when he was a kid. He was fine.
Yeah.
But I never would have said, now that... He's got the makings of being an ex-De Niro. I'm like, whatever.
And I mean, he's kind of a weird kind of outlier in Hollywood as well. Like, okay, Robert Downey Jr., who is very famously wealthy at this point.
And by the way, Jamie Foxx does a dead-on impersonation of RDJ. I did not know that.
I'm going to have to look this up. I'm interested in that.
So good.
Okay, RDJ is very, very bankable as long as he's playing Tony Stark. And mm-hmm. I mean, right now, everybody and their brother is attached to some superhero franchise. Like, the IP is king now. You're in Star Wars, you're in Marvel, you're in mm-hmm. DC, you're in some pre-existing property. And unless I am just skipping over it, DiCaprio hasn't done any of that. Like, I'm not saying I don't want to see him in it, but, like, he's not a superhero. Like, I guarantee you Marvel or DC would gladly hire him to do it. But, like, he's like his own brand mm-hmm. at this point. Like, I think it was, like, one of his managers or one of the producers of the movie. I'd read an interview. Basically, it just says his brand is excellence. He goes, people come to see his movies because they know that they're always good. And I'm just like, well, they're... I really couldn't, like, even the ones, like, maybe that I wasn't overwhelmed with. Like, you've got some that were lesser grocers, like Blood Diamond, I think, mm-hmm. did less than $100 million, and J. Edgar, which he did with Clint Eastwood, also did lesser. But, like, the films also weren't $300 million spectacles. Right. So, like, you can that's okay for those films to do. But, like, Revenant cleared, like, $500-600 million worldwide.
That was an exceptional film.
And, like, most of it, Inception, like, did, like, huge business as well. Like, he is one of the few people that doesn't have to link himself up to, like, even Harrison Ford, like, back in the day, who was all kinds of blockbuster. Like, Ford was a franchise man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he had three if you count Jack Ryan, Star Wars, mm-hmm. Indiana Jones, and Jack Ryan. Like, somehow or another, this guy just gets to pick projects, and usually they're with prestige directors. Like, he's worked twice with Tarantino. I think he's worked four times with Martin Scorsese. He's worked with Steven Spielberg. He's worked with James Cameron. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous how he just kind of goes around what everybody mm-hmm. else seems to be doing to make money, and has created really almost his own IP around himself. And
so, in the story,
sure,
we've got him. He's doing not so great.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's still his buddy. And so the point of the story is just how cool they are or are not.
Well, Brad Pitt's character.
And is there much comedy? Do we have a lot of that Pulp Fiction-y pop
yes.
culture stuff?
This is a lot closer. Okay, if you look at, say, Kill Bill,
mm-hmm.
Up through, I want to say, probably Hateful Eight, which is not the Adam Sandler movie. They're almost, they are very close to being just action movies. And I don't mean mm-hmm. like just action, but like they're Tarantino action films.
Yeah, and they're not dialogue centric.
I mean, there's some great yeah. dialogue in it, but they're almost hyperbolic in the level of violence. Like Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown were very much like, they were very subtle compared to, like, say, his work 2003, 2004 on. This film harkens back to kind of that late 90s, mid to late 90s Tarantino. Now, that's not to say that there isn't violence in this movie and there isn't, like, action, but it's not, say, to the degree that, like, Django was.
So, on a blood-spurting factor from Toy Story to Human Centipede, where does this fall?
It is as close to a bloodless Tarantino film as you will probably
ever get. So it's closer to Toy Story.
Like, it, I still wouldn't say that. I don't, I can't commit to that right there. But, like, it doesn't, like, okay, Kill Bill. People are bleeding in that movie.
There's a lot.
They're bleeding a lot. There's a lot of violence. Like, it's all kind of R. Like, this movie drops a lot of expletives, but it's not necessarily, like honestly, if you would take out, like, some of the F-bombs, like, this movie almost could have been PG-13. Like,
so why are we hearing Manson, Manson, Manson? It's just Manson adjacent? Is he a leading character?
Well, the Polanski is the next-door neighbor of DiCaprio's character in the movie. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're seeing Sharon Tate pretty heavily featured, who has played
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie is being played by her. So, like, you're like, well, okay, this is going to intersect at some point. And it's they live on Cielo Drive. So in your head, you're just going, oh, I know where this movie's going. It's even mm-hmm. perfect for a Tarantino movie. Like I don't want to get into too much more than that, because this film also does a really good job of making you think one thing. Like, Tarantino pays a lot of attention to the way, like, you position a camera, the kind of music mm-hmm. you use. Like, maybe the scene is acting very foreboding. Like, you'll do that and you're like, oh, this is what's about to happen. This is what's about to happen. And then it just fakes left and you're like, oh, that's not what's the film uses your knowledge of film against you. So there's a lot of times you'll be watching the movie just being like, oh, I see what you're doing. And then you're like, nope, I did not see what you were doing.
So end credits.
There is a treat for fans of Tarantino's previous work in the credits. It's they're not doing a shared universe movie, uh-huh. which, by the way,
would be awesome.
Well, I totally watch. that's not the case, at least not at this point. But there is a little kind of, it's a nice little Easter egg for people that have been with him since, like, Reservoir Dogs.
So at the end of the movie, or at the end of the credits, in the middle of the credits?
It's about middle worth of credits, and the cast of this movie is ridiculous.
So who else is in it other than some guy named Brad Pitt?
Timothy Oliphant is in it.
What?
Yeah, he plays a cowboy.
Oh.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're within the context of the film, like, you get to see him shooting the pilot where he is playing the heavy, and Timothy Oliphant is going to be the main character of this new Western.
I want
to
see that.
That's what I'm – and you get to see a pretty good deal of the episode.
Oh, nice.
But, like, at one point as well, like, you're so, like, kind of ensconced in it. You forget that you're not – this isn't the movie you're watching. You're watching the actor in the movie doing a show. And, like, you've kind of invested yourself in the show, but they don't – it's not cut together like it is, like, whenever it's narrative. So sometimes you'll see him blow a line, and he'll just go, line. Let me just stop. And they're like, sit down.
Meta.
No, sit down. Just go from here. Like, it's – you're getting to see him acting – as another character acting as that, like, it's just.
You had me at Oliphant.
It's, let's see, Al Pacino also plays another character in it. You've got a couple little, like, blink and you'll miss it, like, from Tarantino's, like, other work. Like, it is Dakota Fanning shows mm-hmm. up in what's essentially, like, a bit
vampire?
Part. No. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like, you almost forget until you're like, wait, who was that? And I mean, these people are doing like 13-second parts. Like,
wow.
I really think at this point, Tarantino, like, he's allowed to get anybody that he wants.
I feel that Chloe Moritz would be in a Tarantino film. She hasn't, has she?
Not
yet. It strikes me as...
Well, here's the other catch about, like, DiCaprio to a certain extent and Tarantino. They don't make sure that they do a movie like every 2 years. They don't mm-hmm. make sure that they have a social media presence. Like, they don't care.
We don't need no stinking social media.
If it's 4 years in between movies, it's 4 years in between movies. If they happen to have another project that they really like, maybe they do it like twice in 1 year. But, like, they really gravitate or they hone that material until they're like, okay, that's the movie that I need to make now.
Nice. So you would recommend it?
It is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. Like, if your 13-year-old is telling you, oh, I need to watch this, I'm ready for this. They're not.
Yeah.
It's Tarantino. Like, this is not PG-13 Tarantino. It's R-rated Tarantino. If you saw Pulp Fiction, it's a vastly different film than that, very different story. But, like, if it's as appropriate to watch with a 13-year-old as Pulp Fiction mm-hmm. or Jackie Brown
so
would be.
That would be a solid no.
If you're a good parent, the answer is no.
If you're a film-loving parent.
Just putting that out there.
The answer is no.
It's but it is an exceptional movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, performances, like, abound. And Brad Pitt owns this movie. Most of your best laughs are from Pitt. And, like, I forget. Maybe it's because, like, he's just this chiseled granite man.
Mm-hmm. He's Metro Man.
Like, I forget that the guy can act. Like, I don't think he has quite the range DiCaprio does, But when Brad Pitt, like, wants to be funny, he's a really funny guy. Like, I think he almost got backed into a corner because of his ridiculous leading man good looks.
Few have not seen A River Runs Through It lately or ever.
And for people that 20-plus years ago were saying, Robert Redford, this guy.
Yeah.
I'm just – like, he is at this point, what, 55? Am I right about that?
Somewhat.
There is a scene where he is working on his antenna on top of his roof, and he's just in a set of jeans, takes off the shirt, puts on a pair of work gloves, and, like, just kind of runs his fingers through his hair. And I was just like, that man is almost 60 years old, and he has a set of abs that would make Captain America jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Like, Pitt is distractingly good looking in the way that John Hamm mm-hmm. is distract, and both of those men are so vastly talented in spite of their ridiculous looks. And again, Pitt owns it. Like, DiCaprio in a rare, like, self-deprecating role, like, Brad Pitt is just having the time of his life in this movie.
How fun.
And more often than not, like, you get to be in on the joke. Like, it's just, I really just tremendously enjoyed this. They talk a lot. You need to know that up front. Like, 14-year-old me didn't know that. I'm telling you. They talk a lot, but if you will put your time into it, the film is worth it.
Excellent. So, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood sounds... I have not been as excited to see a Tarantino movie or just a movie in a long time. I mean, I genuinely want to see this. I haven't gotten around to it.
And there is a good possibility. Like, he hasn't committed to it yet. This may be Tarantino's last movie. He has been saying for years, I want to do like 9-10 movies, have a really strong filmography, and then just walk away from it. He goes, I don't want to be asked to leave the table. I want to walk away from it when I feel like I'm still at the top of my craft. And this is film number 9.
All right, whatever. So, don't get me into it.
I mean, like I said, we may get 10, but like if this movie, like let's say it goes in, like wins like 6 Oscars and like just does gangbusters at the box office. If he wants to go out on a high note, like, and I mean, honestly, at this point, I can't see him get bored. He said, I'll still write plays. And he's saying, I'm not saying like I never come back. And he goes, but it's not going to be like now the way it exists, like about every like 3-4 years, maybe slightly more, you get a new Tarantino movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's saying that won't be the case. And he goes, I'm not saying like, you know, 10 years down the road, I don't just be like, you know what? I've got a great idea for Kill Bill 3. I want to do this movie. Because he said, I actually have a really good idea for Kill Bill 3. And he goes, I want to make that movie. He goes, do I count that as part of the 2 films before? And he goes, and that's not the 10th film. He goes, I can make up whatever rules I want.
Exactly.
He goes, but basically he's saying like this one or the next one may be the last time. And he's not saying like he's not going to produce movies. And I mean, honestly, if he's writing plays, I can't see like a studio like Columbia or Disney or somebody going, we need to turn this into a movie. If he's not going to direct it, Tarantino has several screenplays like, what was it, True Romance.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, I want to say, Natural Born Killers.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, so like, even before he became Quentin Tarantino, as we know him now, From Dusk Till Dawn, he wrote that. So he may still be like involved in the business, but he will not be making films in the way that we think of now.
Oh, well. He can do what he wants. But anyway, good adult movie to watch.
Yes.
Don't Take the Kids. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Possibly a contender for an Oscar.
With all of the stupid amount of talent that is in this movie, I really can't see it. And like I said, maybe it doesn't get like, you know, 16 nominations for whatever. But I cannot see that the Oscars do not show a little bit of love to this movie. And it's basically, it's a tribute to old Hollywood, mm-hmm. which I can't imagine them not being into. Like,
precisely.
The cast, the director.
I bet you if Polanski could vote, he would vote for it.
He's busy elsewhere, yeah, I think, right now.
Anyway, go and see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And what's our next one coming up? The next biggin?
What is the next? I mean, honestly, I think that was because you're going.
You did Lion King.
Kids start school.
Yeah, but not
like
everybody's
this week.
Kids. Not everybody's.
But I'm saying like August is not the wealth of riches that you get during the summer.
I see. Well, I'm not going to look it up. There are other movies coming out. I just don't remember what they are.
I mean, we'll have some, but I'm just saying, like, we got, like, the 1-2 punch of, like, Lion King mm-hmm. and then a Tarantino movie. We're probably not going to get that for a little while.
Just
putting it out there.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.